You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer with Jim and Bobby Bell.
Where readers and writers meet. And story is everything. We're delighted to have you with us again tonight, whether you're listening to the audio only on the LA Talk Radio website, or you've joined us on Facebook, or maybe you're listening 6 months from now. We are delighted to have you with us.
We are.
Yes, yes. So that was the Hot Texas Swing Band opens and closes our show. And we thank Alex Dormont and the band for providing that music for us. Gets our toes tapping and gets us started, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Jim, who is our first guest who will be with us the whole show? Who's joining us?
Henry Park.
Henry Park is with us. It's the first Thursday of the month, and
yes.
Henry's in the studio. Hey, Henry.
Hi, guys. Great to see you.
Good to see you. And if you're listening on audio, Henry has a little more light on him this week in his fabulous office library collection studio.
Well, at least I look a little less like the crypt keeper. You can tell there are books behind me instead of anything creepier.
Well, Henry is the Western film editor for True West magazine. Do you want to hold up the current issue? And of course,
why,
you
hey, what's that cover story by
any chance? Tell us that cover story, Henry.
Why, that's my interview article on Robert Duvall. Why, it looks the same on my camera. Except that I dropped it.
You got it.
Yes, it's the legendary Lonesome Dove interview by Henry C. Park. I highly recommend it.
Henry, is it the first time that you've interviewed him over all your years?
Well, actually, it's a new interview. It is a classic. New article, classic in quotes, interview, because we actually did that about 5 years ago. And that was the first time that I interviewed him.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
we
a great
love
interview,
that cover.
Henry. It's a great interview.
And how could you not pick up that magazine with that cover?
I would be ashamed if it was.
Yeah, because it says that Henry C. Park. I would pick it up because it says Henry C. Park right here.
Absolutely.
We have two articles in here. One, you have the interview from 2016 on Robert Duvall and particularly Lonesome Dove. And then you have the second article in here about Robert Duvall and the Westerns he's made.
That's right. And he has had quite a Western career.
Yes, he has.
Mm-hmm. So, Henry.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening on the big and little screen.
Sure. Well, let's see. I spent the morning with our mutual buddy C. Courtney Joyner doing audio commentary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for a new Blu-ray release of Kansas Raiders, starring Audie Murphy. And on Saturday, we'll be doing the same for that great Charlton Heston Western, Will Penny.
Very
excited about that.
Yeah.
As far as what's happening in the Western world, Yellowstone is in the news. Did you hear about the debacle on Saturday night?
No.
Oh, boy. I think everyone has heard that Yellowstone is either ending or being spun off to a new series, either way, starring Matthew McConaughey. Oh. And Kevin Costner may or may not be leaving. It's hard to say. But no one was expecting the April Fool's Day surprise at Paley Fest at the Dolby Theater. Hundreds of fans paid from $30 to $100 to see and hear series creator Taylor Sheridan, Kevin Costner, Kelly Riley, Cole Hauser, Luke Grimes, Wes Bentley, Gil Birmingham, all of the lead people in the show discuss the series. None of them showed up.
Oh, my goodness.
A number of very talented folks did attend and speak, but they were not the leads and not the people who were announced. And attendees were, I think the term is, mad as hell.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So, oh,
don't know what's going on there. Now to the happy news. The PCM Classic Film Festival begins in Hollywood 1 week from today. And I'm delighted to say it has the best Western representation in several years. It's opening at Grauman's Chinese Theater with the premiere of the restoration of Howard Hawks' Rio Bravo.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And star Angie Dickinson, who's looking terrific at 91, will attend.
All right.
Wow, 91.
Yes, and she looks great. They'll also be showing the great Western noir, Blood on the Moon, the great musical Western, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, the great silent Western, Clash of the Wolves, plus The Wild Bunch and Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Great, great lineup. Now, all of our Jewish listeners are well aware that Wednesday was the first day of Passover. But like they used to say in the ads for Levy's Rye Bread, you don't have to be Jewish to love documentaries. Well, that wasn't exactly what they said, but there's an excellent documentary, Jews of the Wild West, which was True West Magazine's Reader's Choice for the best documentary this year.
Oh, wow.
It's very informative and entertaining and inspiring story of Jews from around the world who made their way out west in the 19th and early 20th centuries. And not only is it available from Amazon, during Passover, it's on sale to rent or buy. So check it out. You will enjoy it and learn a lot from it.
Very good.
Now, there are some actors, you know the face, but not necessarily their names. Do you guys by any chance remember a child actor named Tommy Cook?
No. Jim Christina would know. If Jim was here, he would know, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, now, he was the original Little Beaver in the Red Ryder serial.
Okay.
Yeah, with Don Redberry. He was the Jungle Boy in the Jungle Girl serial. He did lots of Westerns at Republic. He did Night Passage with Audie Murphy and Jimmy Stewart. He's 93 this July, and he's launched a GoFundMe campaign to help him pay for his medical and insurance costs.
Oh, wow.
Like many older Screen Actors Guild members, he had been told he had medical coverage for life. But with the rise in medical costs due to COVID, SAG-AFTRA changed the rules and cut off coverage to many older members, or raised the required earnings so high that it was impossible.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, Robert Loggia, who played Elphago Baca for Disney, he was in Big, Scarface, he was Oscar-nominated for Jagged Edge. He starred for me in Speed Trap. When he died in 2015, his widow was told she had medical care for life. In 2020, they told her, boom, it's over. There's a big class action lawsuit going on, which has received very little attention since one of its vocal leaders, Ed Asner, former president of SAG, died. If you'd like to help, look for Tommy Cook's GoFundMe page. And please check out the April True West. As you know, I've got my cover story at Robert Duvall. My newest article on the INSP blog is Spaghetti Westerns 101. And also on Sunday, I'll be posting a new Henry's Western Roundup featuring an interview with Oscar winner Richard Dreyfuss about his Western career. And his story about guesting on the Big Valley is one of the funniest tales I've ever gotten to share. And you can read all about this and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Oh, Henry, thank you. Hey, you know, we're going to be in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
2 weekends, April 22nd and 23rd at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. And we know that you may have a full dance card for that weekend, but we're still hoping that you might drop by.
Oh, I will guarantee it. Absolutely. Oh, I'm so looking forward to seeing you guys with bigger images, like your actual face.
Our actual faces, yes. And very quickly, we want to just mention this event, April 22nd and 23rd, Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, Old Town New Hall. On Saturday, I'm just going to focus on Saturday, we have 5 public programs hosted by the Friends of the Santa Clarita Library at the Old Town New Hall Library, right on the street where the Buckaroo Bookshop will be. At 11 o'clock that morning, our first kickoff is cowgirl poet Andrea Kidd. And I have both of her CDs here, Sespe Lullaby and Sespe Skies. Andrea will be kicking things off at 11 o'clock as only Andrea can. It's going to be a lot of fun. Her program is called Where the Spirit of the West Rhymes On. At 12 o'clock, our good friend Ejo Brown, author with a brand new, his very first book, the first in a series, A Cowboy's Destiny, the Kelly Can series. Joe will be talking about this book through words and music. He'll actually be performing music that relates to the story, and it's a fabulous presentation. He's with us at noon. At 1 o'clock, our good friend Bob Rill will be doing a one-person presentation called The Westerns, TV versus Real Life, and that'll be his topic. Katie Ryan, an author, joins at 1 o'clock with a panel discussion, Tricks of the Trade. And Katie will be moderating. This is her book, Course Wisdom Alchemy. Some of her authors on the panel, Jim Meals, who writes as James Clay, will be talking on that panel. Mark C. Jackson, this is the third of his trilogy. This is Blue Ribbons, Rivers of Heaven. And Bruce Sively, who I'm very eager to meet. I'm eager to meet all of our new writers. But Bruce has written a wonderful book, Wyatt Earp, The Life He Lived and the Death He Imagined, The Last Stage. And he is also a member of that panel. And then at 3 o'clock, our final presentation is Peter Shirako. And Peter is a very well-known educator, historian, author, actor, founder of the Caravan West Production Company. And he'll be talking about from novel to script, from script to movie. Peter is one of our headliners in the bookshop. People will come and hang out with him, right, Henry, like for the whole day?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. He's a great entertainer.
And just
so knowledgeable.
So knowledgeable. And he'll be with us at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And then all of these authors are with us on Saturday at the Buckaroo Bookshop. And many of them are with us on Sunday as well. So come on out April 22nd and 23rd. Now we're switching gears and we're going to bring on our featured guest. Who's our featured guest?
Melody Groves.
Yay, Melody.
Welcome, Melody.
Thank you.
We're holding up your book. Melody is calling in. But Melody, we're holding up the book.
Excellent.
Billy the Kid. Yes. The boy behind the legend. Go ahead, Jim, and give us a little intro on Melody.
We have a little intro. Yes, we do. Growing up in southern New Mexico, I roamed around ghost towns and across the desert, always seeing cowboys and stagecoaches along the way. Although I lived in Guam as a child and then in the Philippines as a teenager, the American Southwest has always been my home. I write all things Western and have garnered a few awards along the way. I also play rhythm guitar in a jamming time band. All right, Melody.
We're delighted to have you, and you can't see us until you watch this later, Melody, but Jim is wearing a shirt with guitars with wings on it, just honor of your musical career, and I'm wearing a dress that's all Billy the Kid print.
Nice. Well, thank you.
So we're so happy to have you with us. Melody, tell us a little bit about your writing background and kind of how you got started with writing, and then we're going to talk about Billy.
Well, I got started writing probably when I was in junior high. You can tell how old I am because I call it junior high. It's now mid school. I've always enjoyed writing. My mother was a published writer. She wrote some, I'm not going to belittle it, but she wrote some romance magazine articles because they paid really well back in the day. So she always encouraged me to write, and I did a lot of journalism. I was the editor of the junior high newspaper. I was on the staff of the high school paper. I was a journalism minor in college. And I've just always enjoyed writing, and I didn't know what I wanted to write for the longest time. I just knew I wanted to write. And I went to my mom one time when I was in college, and I said, you know, I really want to do Westerns. And she goes, oh, and nobody ever reads a Western. Don't write a Western. So I tried my hand at other things, and it just didn't work. And then finally, one day, the bubble popped, and I went, oh, I'm writing a Western. And that was that all with right. that.
Well, if you've written several other books besides the one we're going to talk about tonight. You've done a lot.
Right. I actually have 14 out now. Number 14. About the 14 came out on Wednesday. 14. Or Tuesday.
Ah. Well, you know, the first book that we picked up of yours, Melody, was the bar about hoisting a cold one, the book about hoisting a cold one, and it was all about the bars in New Mexico, and that's uh-huh. a really fun book. We've wanted to good. Hit all those bars.
Right. We had a good time doing that. It's a book on bars that are old, but it wasn't it had to be a historic bar, but it had to be one that you could put your elbow on right now and get a drink. I didn't want one in, like, Grandma's basement or back in the, garage. It had to be one that was being used. And we went to, of course, New Mexico. We went to Southern Colorado. We went to Arizona. We went to Texas. My editor sent us to West Texas because you see all these movies where they are on the cattle drive and they come in to slake their thirst. And we discovered that all the counties in the West are dry. There were no saloons. So we finally found a museum down in O'Donnell, Texas, where Dan Blocker, you know, who played Hoss on Bonanza, he grew up there. And their claim to fame in this museum was that they had the linoleum from the kitchen floor of Dan Blocker's childhood house. You take it where you can get it. So we were talking to these two old guys, and they laughed, and they said, no, you're not going to find old bars here. You're going to find Grange meetings out in the alley. But no, we don't have any bars. So we didn't have any West Texas, so we ended up in El Paso at Rose's Cantina, which is literally an old bar. That's where
Marty Robbins.
Thank you. All I could think of was Marty Stewart. I'm going, no, wrong guy. Yeah, Marty Robbins wrote El Paso, and that's where he was. The bar itself is not that old. It's 70 years old, 80 years old maybe. But, so that's what we did with that book.
Yeah, very fun.
It's fun.
Well,
it's
we're fun. Talking tonight. I'm going to hold it up again. Before Billy the Kid, the boy behind the legendary outlaw. And this just won a major award. Melody, tell us about the Spur Award.
It did. You're making me smile. I know you can't see me, but I'm grinning from ear to ear. I won the Spur Award from Western Writers of America, and that's their top award for literature. And it's in the biography section. And I just absolutely thrilled when I got that. I've tried really hard for years to win any kind of award through WWA, and I mean, to jump right to the front and win a Spur Award is a huge deal, and I'm so appreciative. One of the judges told me that it was hard won, is that you had a lot of competition, he said. So that makes it even sweeter.
Great. That's the way to win.
That's great. So congratulations.
How did you receive the notification?
I got a phone call, and since I'm vice president of Western Writers of America, when I got this phone call from the Spur chairman, I figured there was something, he had a problem. And I knew it was coming close to the end of the contest season, but I've been so busy, I haven't really paid a lot of attention. Because I submitted this book, my Billy book, in September, maybe the end of August. So it's been a long time, so I forgot about it. And so when he called me, I thought, well, oh, man, there's got to be a problem that I'm going to have to fix. Okay, Bob, what's going on? And he says, well, you won. And I went, what? I won what? He goes, well, you won a Spur. I did? For what? For your Billy book. So then I thanked him profusely for doing that, but... Yeah, I was not expecting it at all. I had totally forgotten about it, you know, all these months. But I'm glad they hadn't forgotten about it.
Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations. And we look forward, although you're here in Albuquerque and we often cross paths, we're looking forward to seeing you at the conference in June. I'm assuming that you're going and seeing you actually interact as an award winner. That's just going to be so much fun. Jim, I'm sure you have a question for Melody.
Well, you know, this is the first time we've really read something about Billy the Kid before the Kid. Yeah. You know, he was only about 21 when he died. So
she's going to correct you. How old when he died, Melody?
He had just turned 20.
Okay. I got it right.
She does a lot of myth busting in this book.
So we're talking pre-Billy the Kid, which is pre-his adulthood. And he wasn't an adult very long. So we're talking when he was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're kind of talking here about this time, which I haven't seen much written about this situation. Wasn't exactly a good life, was it? He kind of moved around a lot. Times were tough.
Well, times were average. I mean, they were what they were back then, and it really probably hasn't changed a great deal now. He did travel around quite a bit as a child. He went from, I'm saying New York, which is where I think he was born. That's what all my research has pointed to, Utica, New York, to Indianapolis, to Wichita, Kansas, to Denver, to Santa Fe, where his mom and stepfather got married, down to Georgetown, right north of Silver City, New Mexico, and then down into Silver City. And so he was probably 9. And had done all of that traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a key character appears in his life with his mom, Catherine.
It was.
She seemed like she kind of held that family together to a certain degree.
She held him together totally. And he was so close to her, and she was close to him. Because when you think about it, my theory is that when she was in Indianapolis, she had 2 little 5 and 7, and there was no man around, the husband or the father of the boys. That's kind of up to discussion, and I do talk about that in the book. So there was no father figure there. She had to take care of the boys. She was the father, but Billy was very, very close to her. Then when Bill Antrim showed up, he... was 12 years younger, 12 to 13 years younger than Catherine. He kind of came in, and I'm sure, I just would pretty much guarantee that Billy and his brother Joseph just thought, oh my goodness gracious, we've got a dad. We have a dad in the house now. And of course, they didn't live together because you didn't do that then. They ended up going to Wichita, Kansas together, but they lived separately. Bill Antrim built a house about 5 miles or a couple miles out of town. She lived in town with the boys, but still they were together a great deal. And then after that, they went to Denver. Then they went down to Santa Fe, where Bill and Catherine got married. And I'm sure Billy had lots of different thoughts going through his mind kids today would. You know, here it's been mom and me and little brother all this time. And now this guy's coming in and taking mom. And yet here's a dad who maybe can take me fishing and hunting, and we can do guy things together that mom didn't do. So it's got to be a bittersweet time for him. But yes, his mother was incredibly influential. She taught Billy how to dance. She was quite the Irish jig woman. Apparently, she could cut a Highland fling better than anybody around. She was lively. She was spry. She was apparently just kind of like the party. She brought the party whenever she showed up. She taught him how to sing. Billy did a lot of singing. He had a beautiful tenor voice. And he played harmonica. And I think this is all because of the mom. She just supported him in everything everything he did. And then when she died at the age of 45, and he was 13 when she died, that was more than devastating for him, because when she died, Bill Antrim was gone. He had gone gold mining and wasn't even in town when she died, and didn't show up for a few weeks after she died. And so there was nobody for Billy. There's absolutely nobody to support him and help him along the way. It was so sad.
You mentioned early on in the book, and this was a delightful read. I knew a little bit about Billy. I loved hearing many more things about Billy than I knew about these early years of his life, and how you take us through the sections of the life that we are familiar with, Lincoln County Wars and such. I just found it really entertaining, as well as very informative, and a very just a really interesting read. Early on, you call him Billy the Kid is my outlaw, or was my outlaw. Talk a little bit about you and Billy.
I have always, I don't want to use the word admired. I admire him now, but back in the day, I thought he was cool. I grew up in southern New Mexico, really close to Mesilla, about a mile away from Mesilla, where Billy the Kid had been on trial. And I used to walk over there with some friends of mine from the neighborhood. We'd go through the cotton fields and things like that. And back in those days, there was still the courtroom was still there. Well, it's still there. Now it's a souvenir shop. But and then they put a bar in there when I was in college, which was really cool. But there was, you know, these signs here and there about Billy the Kid. And I kind of started wondering about who he was. And then I read a little bit about him, and I'd listen. And I just thought he was the neatest guy. And I don't know what drew him to me exactly. But like I said, the more I got to know him and research him and walk where he walked and stood where he died, it's just I really have a lot of admiration for the guy. And I know that there's some people who say, are you kidding me? He's a thug. He went around shooting people. Well, there were reasons for that. And I'm not saying that it was right, but it was called survival. And I mean, you know, that's what we do. That's kind of human nature.
You know, jump
in.
Supposedly Billy had a lot of girlfriends. Now, is that true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he had a lot. He sure did. he had girlfriends everywhere. One of his, well, we don't know for sure how many exactly, but the ones that came to the surface that we know about, I'm looking here for the, I can't remember the name, Sally Chisholm.
Chisholm
fame. Yeah, her uncle was John Chisholm of the cattle industry. She was really smitten with Billy. He would come over and bring her candy and flowers and when he was in the area. And there was a thing I read about when he had just gotten to Lincoln. He was down in that area. So he was 16, 17 years old, and he was really, really good on horseback and really, really good with weapons. And what he would do, this one girl and her brother were staying at the ranch that he was at, and he would literally drop his handkerchief or his kerchief, and then he would go running at it on a horse at full tilt and lean over and pick it up,
right,
just like you see in the movies. And he would do that. And so she just thought, oh my goodness. And I can imagine from a 15-year-old girl's point of view, that would be so romantic.
Oh,
and the brother was like, well, he's just a thug. Yeah, man, anybody can do that. Yeah, don't like him at all. But she was like, oh, he's so handsome. And well, he fathered, they think, about seven children.
Really?
That's the question. Yeah. That's
really the question. That was the one question Jim wanted to get in tonight, Melody.
Seven?
Yes, I was surprised. And it seems like everywhere he went, there was another one. Yeah, he had a lot of girlfriends. They're pretty sure seven. Now, we have to take a lot of that with a grain of salt because it wasn't a very good thing to have a baby out of wedlock, especially with Billy the Kid, because after all, he was an outlaw. He was a wanted man,
right.
Which led to the reason that he was killed in Pete Maxwell's house, because Paulita, who was his novia, his girlfriend, was across the hall in her bedroom. And I don't want to get too far ahead of this, but he was over there to visit her and ended up over in Pete's bedroom where Pat Garrett was waiting and was shot there. So, but the thing was, Paulita, there's no doubt that she was expecting. There's no doubt. And the reason we being the researchers are pretty sure is that a couple months after she or he was killed, she had a baby. Now, she was forced, or she married a man, a sheep herder, who was like 20 years older than her. And it didn't last all that long because he was apparently unfaithful and she divorced him. But yeah, so she had this baby not out of wedlock, but it was really quickly after Billy was killed. And everybody knew they were sweethearts. Everybody knew that. But the sad thing is, too, about Billy's children, none of them lived to adulthood. One of them was old enough before he died at about the age of 7 or 8, knew that he was pretty sure Billy was his dad. That was the talk of the town and the gossip. And it was, you know, just small communities and everybody knows everything about everybody. And so the word was that Billy was his dad. And yet, you know, none of the children live to adulthood.
Wow. Melody, we're going to take a very quick break. I'm holding up the book one more time. We are talking with special guests. Before Melody Groves, Before Billy the Kid, The Boy Behind the Legendary Outlaw. And we're going to ask Sam to go ahead and play the Out West Shop Bookshop ad so that people can see where they can get the book. And we're going to be right back. Don't go away. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Special guest Henry Park and our special guest Melody Groves.
Do you want to ask Henry?
Yes, we do. Henry, you,
yes, sir.
Might you have a question for Melody?
Yeah, indeed I do. Melody, there have been so many movies and TV shows about Billy the Kid. There was actually just a recent British made series. And I was just wondering if any were particularly accurate or inaccurate.
I think Young Guns was one of the more accurate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to tell if what's accurate and what isn't, because so little is factually known about Billy, especially his young life. There's so much has written, you know, the good old purple prose where everything's expounded and expanded. It's hard to tell for sure, but I think Young Guns was probably the best. Absolutely. And of course, more and more research comes in, or new findings come in every day. So it's hard to keep up with that, especially in Hollywood. But as long as we keep the name of Billy the Kid alive, I think that's helping at any rate. So that's my answer, is Young Guns.
Was there anything as you were doing your research that surprised you, things that you did not expect to find out about him?
Yeah, there was a lot. He, for example, he was always young looking, and he was younger than people, or it was thought that he was. He was young, no doubt about it. But what he did in Arizona, he learned to deal faro and poker, and so he became really, really good at that. And that's how he made a living. And what would happen is these rough, tough guys would come in and sit down and say, oh, he's just a kid. And that's one of the ways he got his nickname, the kid. Oh, yeah, I'm going to just let him deal the cards, and I'm just going to, you know, win everything, the whole pot. And Billy was pretty darn good at faro and poker, and he won a lot. And so, of course, the people would get angry, but that's one of the ways he made a living. Yeah. So that kind of surprised me a little bit.
He didn't really drink either, did he?
No, very rarely. Really rare. He didn't like it. He just didn't like it. One of the things too that I found out that, and it's definitely in the movies if you look for it, is he had staunch friends. They would support him no matter what. And two of those friends are Charlie Beaudry, who was killed because they thought he was Billy, and then his buddy Tom Folliard. And sometimes you see it spelled O'Folliard, but it's not. It's just Folliard. His middle initial is O after his dad. And he was also killed, mistaken for Billy. But his friends would do anything to support him, to save him, to help him. They were very, very staunch, and I didn't realize how staunch. And then the other thing that I learned, that it took me a while to figure all this out and put it together, but Billy, the basis of Billy was he was looking for stability. He wanted stability. After his mom died, he didn't get the stability he needed, and he saw it in Pauleta Maxwell at the very end. And I think because he had planned to buy a ranch when he first came in contact with John Tunstall, and he was saving his money for a ranch, he and this other guy. And then when he met Pauleta, that was the last of the series of girlfriends. And with her expecting, he had planned to settle down. That's what he wanted. He wanted a ranch, he wanted a wife, and he wanted kids. And he needed stability. And so that was what I found most surprising, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's kind of one photo, one image, I should say, image of him that we all, you know, get it in our mind when we say Billy the Kid. It's real. I mean, it's really him. But in chatting with you the other day, we kind of discovered that, you know, that he was not really dressed as he normally. Talk a little bit about that image and what you discovered.
Yeah, what's interesting with that image is, I'm looking at it right here myself, is first of all, it's backwards because of the way the camera works. My husband explained it to me technically, and I went, uh-huh. But it's backwards, basically. The clothes that he's wearing were not his. People are saying they're not his, that they were given to him or loaned to him by Pete Maxwell, whose room he was in when he was killed. He was friends with Pete Maxwell until he started dating Pete's sister, Pauleta, and then Pete didn't like him after that. I don't know why. But yeah, those clothes were borrowed because he wore a Sugarloaf sombrero. And if you're wearing a sombrero, you can't really see your face. So he has a different hat. And the vest and the shirt are too big for him. So, and he was a small guy. When he died, he was 5'7" and weighed 130 pounds. He was a small guy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what the experts are saying, is that those are not his clothes. And he was good friends with Pete Maxwell, so Pete had probably loaned him those clothes. But that is his gun.
Melody, I had this thought this morning. If you had the opportunity, if we could arrange magically an opportunity for you to sit across the table and interview Billy the Kid, what would be the first couple questions that you would just be burning to ask him?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh. I would probably ask. Wow. Those are the tough questions. Because we know how he felt about his mom. Probably his relationship with his brother, his younger brother. There's just not a lot of information out there about Joseph. There's just not a whole lot. I would ask about his brother, and I would ask about Paulita, and why he didn't go to Mexico. Because he spoke Spanish fluently. He spoke Spanish better than a lot of the Spanish speakers there in the territory. And people kept saying, Billy, you need to go to Mexico, run to Mexico. There's a price on your head. And goes, no, I'm staying here. And here being Lincoln and Fort Sumner and in that area there, partly, and I figured this out, partly because all of his girlfriends were there. Paulita was there and Sally Chisholm was there and all these other women. But he really identified with the Spanish community. He liked the Spanish, what they did. He liked their language. He liked their customs. He and his mom both liked the freedom that the Spanish women had compared to the women from back east. And he wanted to settle. Oh, and also in Lincoln, and this is something that you probably don't know, because I didn't know, was that half of Lincoln was Irish. There was a huge population of Irish immigrants in Lincoln. Awesome. So you had the Irish and you had the Spanish. Yeah. And so why leave? Mm-hmm. You had everything you needed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to thinking about it later. You know, we at the same time, we got the Lincoln County Wars going on here. And it was like Ireland against England.
You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I would be interested in his side of the Lew Wallace, you know, how come you didn't get that, you know? I'd like to hear it from Billy, like what was said, what was promised, what happened there, you know?
Yeah. There, you know, what's really nice about that is there are a lot of letters that have survived that Billy wrote to Lew Wallace and that Wallace wrote back. And Wallace was going to pardon him, sort of, kind of, but then he got busy with his book, Ben-Hur, uh-huh, and started promoting that and forgot about Billy.
Yeah. We're talking with Melody Groves, and of course, I am looking at the clock. We have a few more minutes with Melody. I'm going to hold up the book cover again. I want to say the name correctly. Before Billy the Kid, The Boy Behind the Legendary Outlaw. You know, one of the sources, you give so many great resources at the back of the book and recaps of the major people and the women and all. It's just a terrific research document. But you do often make comments about our mutual friend, Ralph Estes, and his book on Billy the Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I read that right after we met Ralph, after we'd moved here, I read that book and I thought, finally, I think this is the personality of Billy the Kid. And when I read your book, I thought, there's a wonderful marriage between those two books.
Right.
And that's a historical fiction. Although I did have to wonder, Melody, as I read that book, whether, wait a minute, is this real or not? So what are you working on next? You said you just had something published on Tuesday. What's going on and how can our listeners find you?
That book is called Showdown at Pinos Altos and it's through Wolfpack Publishing. And it is one of the Colton Brothers series. It's set in New Mexico. And it was one of those that I had put in my drawer and my virtual drawer and kind of forgot about it because I was doing some other stuff. And I came across it last year and I thought, well, huh. So I polished it up and gave it to Wolfpack and it came out on Tuesday, like I said. I've got possibly another one over there with Wolfpack. It's called The Making of Texas Kid. And it's more of a, it's not quite the shoot 'em up that the showdown at Pinos Altos is. It's this guy who in Texas who wants to be better than Frank and Jesse James. If he can just figure out how to rob a train.
But he thinks that's great.
But he's thinking that why rob a train when the train station probably has more money? So that's kind of where he's at. So I'm working on that. I'm hoping the Wolfpack will pick that up. I'm supposed to hear in the next day or two, so we'll see. And then I've got some sequels I'm working on. And then one book that I've had noodling in my brain, and I have a ton of research on it, is, and I'm not sure what to call it. It's kind of a Western. It's my family coming over from Ireland. Pre-Civil War, they came over right before the Civil War. There were three brothers, and the youngest, actually two of them were in the Confederate Army within a couple of months of setting foot. They came up through New Orleans. So I had to research why, and just the whole idea of what they did, and I just find it fascinating. They were not the poor Irish. My grandfather owned lumber mills and businesses, and it was quite, they had a lot of money. So I just thought that would be kind of interesting to do. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Great.
And of course,
Melody,
I do
magazine
articles too for Wild West and True West. So that's what I'm working on.
True West. How can people find you?
I have a brand smacking new website called melodygroves.net.
Okay.
And I am apparently all over the internet too. I keep finding my name here, and here. So,
all right.
Yeah. I'm not hard to find. It's kind of scary. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Again, that's our featured guest today. I'm holding up the book again. Before Billy the Kid, The Boy Behind the Legendary Outlaw, by Melody Groves. Henry Park, where can people find you?
Oh, well, they can find me, of course, in the pages of True West magazine. They can find me at Henry's Western Roundup, which is www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com. And also, they can find me at the INSP blog. I write regular columns for them. And that's enough places to find me.
and maybe you'll be with us April 22nd and 23rd. So
I'll be there at least one and maybe both days.
Great. That's great.
Really looking forward
that's
to
great.
It.
Jim, who is our guest next week?
Our guest is Chris Enns.
Yes.
And we have a couple books here.
And we are going to be reading starting tonight. We have two books from Chris. Straight Lady, The Life and Times of Margaret Dumont, the Fifth Marx Brothers. That is her brand newest title. She's got some other titles coming down the pike, but that's the one Jim's going to be reading. And I'm going to be reading The Widowed Ones, Beyond the Battle of the Little Bighorn, which is right up my interest alley. So join us next week with Chris Enns. Jim, do you have a quote for tonight?
We have a quote. This is from Billy the Kid, and this is from his protagonist, the Sheriff Pat.
It's from the book. This is a quote Melody had in the book.
There were many good traits about Billy. He wasn't what you would call a killer. He never made a gun play that he didn't mean, and he never shot up a town. I've met worse than Billy.
And you had one other one. I think there's time for it.
We have time.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't introduce the subject matter too much, but you know, back at this time we had the Lincoln County Wars, you know, it was a lot of bad stuff going on in town, and it wasn't just Billy. He was a small part of it, actually. And we have a quote from President Rutherford B. Hayes regarding Lincoln and Lincoln County, and he said, "Lincoln is the most dangerous street in America."
Yeah.
Lincoln County was considered the most dangerous place in the country.
Well, thank you so much, Melody and Henry, for being with us. Thank you for all of you that came along for the ride. This was really fun. And what's next?
What's next? Thank you for being here.
No, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
We're going to have you back, Melody. Now you've got another book out. We're going to need to talk to you about coming on. Remember.
Okay, it's a date.
It's always
a great day.
Out West. See you.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.